Prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
And welcome, Truth Revolution, where faith meets reason and we contend that you don't have to push one aside for the other, that faith and reason can coexist. I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff from the Revolution Church.
Good morning. We love to be here talking about our brains, talking about science, talking about history, and looking at the Bible at the same time. You know, we're not afraid of questions. We love questions. We think questions lead us to the truth, and God is where the truth is at. So that's why we, as Christians, as people from Revolution Church, we support questions. Hey, let's just ask questions, man. Right. Let's just probe. We're not going to find anything that's going to scare us away from God.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we believe that all questions eventually will lead to the truth, which is God.
That's right. And if it doesn't, if somehow we find out that God doesn't actually exist,
then we want to know truth anyway.
Yeah, we don't want to waste our time.
Right.
But I'm not too worried about that. We've actually, I think, proven a number of times on the show that God does exist. I mean, most of you listening know God exists. We've even shown Jesus rose from the dead.
Right. You know, we've proven it, like, in a legal fashion, so.
Well, sure, yeah. We didn't videotape it back in time and come here and play it for you.
Right. But, you know, if you like the show, you'll like going to Revolution Church, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
We like questions here and there.
We're not formal. We're just laid back. Hey, if you want to check us out online, truthrevolution.tv, you can hear some past shows there. We've gotten a lot of hits this last week, Dave.
Right on.
So you can also help fund the show. It's supported by people who listen to the show, by people who care about the show. So if you're interested in funding there right now, the donation amount for PayPal is set at 99 cents.
99 cents.
So you can donate that or any amount you want.
That's better than the dollar menu.
It is. Yeah. So you're more than welcome to go there, truthrevolution.tv. And you know what? If you disagree with us, that's okay, too.
Let us know.
We'd like to hear from you. Actually, my favorite, you know what? I absolutely love when people stop us and tell us, dude, I listen to your show. It's great. I absolutely love that because it makes me realize, yeah, man, we're making a difference.
Oh, yeah, we're actually reaching ears.
But one of the coolest things is when people go, hey, I've heard your show, and you know, here's where I disagree.
Right.
Because I'm like, okay, you know what? We don't have all the answers. It's possible we've made some mistakes. So I want to know if someone's disagreeing.
Well, then there's, I mean, you don't want to continue to go along life being stupid.
No, that's right.
So if somebody wants to refute something, you welcome that because it's a chance for you to hone yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, we have someone who heard something we said today, and they sent in a message kind of refuting it. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. They're going to talk about slavery. Today, mostly, we're going to try to talk about the flood. In Genesis 6, the Bible says that God flooded the world and
the great flood.
The great flood and killed all men. We're going to ask two questions. Number one, is the flood real? And that's for anyone who does or does not believe in the Bible. You know, how did this actually happen? Number two, we're going to ask, was this a worldwide flood?
Right.
Because there are, I mean, most Christians, I think including myself, believe this was a worldwide flood.
Really?
But not all Christians think that.
I'm not sure what to think.
Well, yeah, maybe you'll know what to think after we're done today.
Hopefully.
I'm actually going to present a lot of evidence that it maybe was not a worldwide flood, just because it's the other side of the coin. A lot of people who don't necessarily believe in the Bible might look at this evidence and say, oh, I guess the Bible doesn't demand that it has to be a worldwide flood, and my scientific evidence shows that it might have been a local flood. And so we're just going to talk through that. I don't think the Bible demands one or the other.
Right.
So that's kind of what we're going to talk about. Okay, so you know, before we get into this, I just want to make it clear. Genesis 6 is where we're talking about, if you care to look that up in the Bible. It says, when man began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that men, daughters of men were beautiful, and blah, blah, blah. And it goes on and explains how men were really evil. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. Every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Now, that's I think it's some hyperbole there. They're trying to make the point. But, you know, people always talk about how, you know, we're in the end times right now. I don't know, compared to this verse.
All evil, all the time.
Yeah, that's not exactly our catchphrase.
Right.
At least we don't think it is. So anyway, God decides, it says the Lord was grieved that he'd made man on the earth. And his heart was filled with pain The Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth. Men, animals, creatures that move along the ground, both birds of the air, for I'm grieved that I made them. I mean, that's
a sad point to come to.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it is. And no, it's not that God's saying, you know, I just want to inflict pain on people. No, God's just saying, all right, look, I made these creatures, and I kind of wish I hadn't.
Kind of a natural reset button.
So I'm just going to wipe them off. And then it says, verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And this is the account of Noah. And it talks about Noah building the ark and living among violent men and blah, 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 all that sort of
right.
stuff. And so, yeah. And so I when we talk about the flood today, you know, first, was it real? Second, was it worldwide? Or was it just Mesopotamia? Don't forget the main message. God was compelled to cleanse the earth of wickedness. I mean, that was the main message. The message of God's judgment against rampant evil is very clear. Now, I also don't want you to forget the second message, which is God's redemption.
Right.
Even though every thought of every person was evil all the time, God still looked for someone that he could save and someone that he could use. And actually, God's doing that right now today. He's looking for anyone who would be willing to listen to him.
Well,
because God wants to redeem people.
Yeah, that's typical. I mean, you see that with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah.
Gerorah.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
Anyway, you know, you see that a lot because God is constantly looking for redemption.
Yes, God is about redemption. That, you know, our church, we talk about this. We talk about untamed mercy.
Yes.
Forgiveness, like, in a crazy way. That's what God is about. That's what we as Christians should be about. You know, we should not be about judgment. We should not be about anger. We should be about loving people even when they harm us, even when they offend us, even when they do wrong, even when we disagree with their lifestyle. Whatever it is, we should love and forgive and be able to treat people as respectable human beings.
Right. Well, Jesus says all scripture hinges on love.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the main point.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So that's the message there that we want to make sure gets communicated in Genesis 6. Now, back to this. All right. The flood, what's fascinating about the flood is that there are other stories and other religions and other cultures about the great flood.
You know what I find fascinating about the flood?
What?
That's just a lot of water.
That's what you find.
The lowest most common denominator. That's Dave.
Yes. The thing I find most fascinating about the flood is the water. No,
that's a lot of water.
It really was a lot of water.
It was.
And actually, it's going back to this other religions and other cultures thing. Some people will say, okay, look, there's like, you have these people on the islands near Hawaii who have a legend of a flood of their own. You have other religions in the East that have a legend of the flood of their own. You've got Christianity and Judaism, which has a legend of the flood. Mm-hmm. You know, all these different cultures have their own little legend of a flood. And how nice is that? You know, but it kind of shows that it really isn't true because everyone's got their own little fake story.
Well,
about
someone
it.
Should have patented that so that they could make royalties.
But think about this. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a flood that killed all humankind, and if one family survived, and everybody alive today came from that one family, and all the different religions and ethnic groups came from that one family,
right,
wouldn't they all have a shared common story about the flood?
You would think.
They would. And so the fact that there's a flood story in almost every culture around the world, and in many different religions, doesn't show that it's a fake story. It shows that they have some sort of common origin.
Right.
It's not like, you know, one religion has a worldwide flood story, and another religion has a worldwide hail story,
right,
and another religion has a worldwide alien story.
Right. More than anything, actually points everybody to a common beginning.
There's probably something to this.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably something. I mean, let's just be honest. If every single culture in the world shared a story about a city named Daveville, we would probably say, well, all right, if every single culture, if every single different, you know, group of people and a lot of religions said, yeah, Daveville existed, we would take that as pretty darn good evidence Daveville existed.
Right.
And here we go. We can't just throw this flood idea out, no matter how incredible it is, because so many cultures, so many religions have this common story, and they all say, yes, this happened. Worldwide flood. It was a real thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if everybody believes the same thing, or if everybody has the same type of story, I mean, it's all going to point back to one point in time.
That's exactly right. Now, when talking about the biblical story, a couple interesting things about the biblical story of the flood. It's far more detailed than other events, than other historical or cultural stories of the flood.
Explain yourself.
Well, it ends with the story of Noah getting drunk. Okay,
great.
This is way different than the other stories. It tells you not only that there was a guy who made a big boat. It tells you how long the boat was, mm-hmm. how deep it was, how wide it was, how many windows there were, how many animals, and it wasn't just two of every kind. It tells you how many animals there were. It tells you, it gives you great details. It tells you exactly how many days it rained, exactly how many days it flooded, exactly how many days it took once the rain stopped for the waters to start receding, how long Noah was on the boat for, where the boat rested.
That seems like an awful lot of detail for a children's story.
Yeah, it gives tons and tons of detail, more than any of the other flood stories.
Right.
And the interesting thing is, none of these details contradict each other. They don't show, this guy said the boat was this long by this wide and you couldn't fit animals in there. This story's crazy.
Right.
A lot of people will read the flood story and say, you couldn't fit dinosaurs on the boat. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's because dinosaurs existed like millions of years before the Ark.
Well, and not only that, but you look at the wallpaper on some children's room, it's got Noah's Ark there. It's a little bitty boat. It's got Noah hanging out the front window, and then you got a giraffe hanging out there. And then it's like, you can't fit all the animals on that boat.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's the size of a bathtub.
That's an artist's rendition.
Yeah, this thing was huge.
Yes.
I don't remember the exact dimensions, but I just listened to a DVD by a comedian, Tim Hawkins, mm-hmm. and he's talking about people who paint Noah's Ark on the walls of their children's room. He's like, oh, yes, honey, I'm painting the Ark on Noah's story on my child's room.
Yeah.
It's great. It's my favorite story where God wipes out and kills all mankind. It's like, next I'm going to paint the stony to Stephen.
Right.
Yeah. That's great. Anyway, so and another reason we find the Bible story to be, fairly realistic is the concept that Noah gets drunk. Think about this. Noah was supposed to be the hero of the story.
Right.
Okay, he was the one guy who God actually cared about. He actually cared about God. He was going to save humankind, and no sooner does he get off the boat than he gets trashed.
Wow.
This is the Bible, shares everybody's...
Yeah. He just survived a worldwide flood.
Party, right?
I deserve this.
Is that what he's saying?
I don't know.
But I wasn't there. The Bible, it was sharing about a hero. Why would someone make a huge lie about this hero and then show how they were actually just really weak if they were trying to pass this off as real? Maybe it did happen that way.
Well, it gives a ring of truth to it, for sure.
Yeah. No. We're told that partial animal skeletons in fissures from the Rock of Gibraltar all the way to Nebraska include that, or indicate this probably wasn't a local flood.
Right.
Just the different ways animal skeletons are found in fissures that are deep that couldn't get there unless the water had forced them in there, a great deal of water, indicate that it might have been a worldwide flood a long, long, long time ago. Now, let's ask if this was a worldwide flood or not, okay? But before we even get to the worldwide flood or not, I want you to read you a quote. This is William Edelin from infidels.org.
Okay.
He says, there's not one major theological seminary nor one department of religion in any major university that teaches that nonsense. Anyone who tries to tell you that the Bible is without error, contradiction, is a biblical or historical illiterate. It is ignorant at the most pathetic point.
Wow, I feel better already.
All right, I think he sounds mad.
Mm-hmm.
The bulk of the evidence that we have seen suggests that the Bible is reliable in the highest degree possible.
Right.
What are we supposed to do with the evidence, like the manuscripts and the prophecy and the statistics? And every single week here, we answer one or two Bible contradictions.
Just ignore it. Ignore it. It'll go away.
Yeah, right. I want to point out today, if anyone's listening, and if they get offended that we might suggest that possibly, maybe, the Bible doesn't absolutely demand it's a worldwide flood, that maybe it could have been local. I want you to understand, we are all about the inerrancy of the Bible. We believe it 100%. The Bible's perfect. But we want to ask, is that really what the Bible's teaching?
Right.
So we're going to come back after the break. We're going to talk about this worldwide flood. Local? Worldwide? Was it just Mesopotamia? We're going to look at some scientific, some biblical evidence. I think there's really intriguing scientific evidence to show that this might have been a local flood. Very interesting stuff. So, check us out, truthrevolution.tv. You're all invited to Revolution Church this morning at 10:15 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So come on out this morning.
About half an hour.
We'll see you on the other side of this break. Truthrevolution.tv. truthrevolution.tv. Check us out online.
Truth Revolution.
And welcome back, Truth Revolution. We're talking about the worldwide flood. Or was it?
Or was it?
Or was it?
Was it worldwide? Was it local? Okay. Now, people are going to accuse me of not loving the Bible, not caring about what the Bible says, because that's what a lot of crazy Christians
but
do.
But you know what? I know Jeff, and he loves the Bible.
I do. I believe it's inerrant. I believe it's perfect in every way. What we have to say is, are we reading the Bible correctly?
Right.
That's the most important question.
That is.
And so I want to point out here, when the Bible talks about worldwide events, and it would be in a worldwide flood, this comes from Hugh Rossi. He's pointed this out to me before, there's two Old Testament passages that talk about worldwide events other than the flood. All right, Genesis 41 and 1 Kings 10. The same Hebrew word is translated the earth, as in the flood account, okay, where you're talking about worldwide or the flood covers the entire earth. It's translated the world in those passages. Now, in Genesis 41, here's what it says. All the countries came to Egypt by grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the world. Now, what's interesting here, okay, so it says the entire world had this severe famine. But then later on, in another chapter, it says, it clarifies in verses chapter 42, verses 5 and 6, it says the famine had spread just throughout the Egypt empire and Canaan. It says the world, it was severe in all of Egypt and the land of Canaan. So when it says all the world, it's what it really meant there in chapter 42 was Egypt and Canaan, because that's what was important to that story. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like us, you know, saying, oh yeah, there's a new Walmart opening in Salina. Everyone knows about it.
Right.
You know, well, we're not talking about people in Chesapeake Bay. We're talking about everyone in Salina.
Right.
And we don't even necessarily literally mean everyone, you and me. We don't mean everyone in Salina. We mean the vast, vast majority.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to the thought that perhaps when they say worldwide, they basically meant the world as they knew it?
Well, yeah, I think that's a fairly reasonable explanation. Mm-hmm. Although they knew things were beyond Egypt and Canaan. They knew there was lands out east. And so they, even in saying all the world, they already knew there was more than just Egypt and Canaan when that's all they meant by all the world. In fact, 1 Kings 10:24 says, the whole world saw audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom that God had put in his heart. Now, later verses talk about what the whole world means. It says rulers came as far away as from Ethiopia and Arabia.
Right.
Okay? People didn't come from Antarctica or Greenland or America. The Native Americans weren't coming to hear Solomon. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, geographically, all the world in the Bible doesn't literally mean all the world all the time. It just doesn't.
Right. It's basically verbiage, slang, if you will.
Slang, hyperbole. It's a standard colloquial way of saying things.
Right.
And look, when we talk about inerrancy and biblical inerrancy, you can say, well, no, I think the worldwide always means worldwide. Well, then you've got these two problems here. You have the Bible contradicting itself, okay? Mm-hmm. Even the Chicago Declaration of Biblical Inerrancy, which was the definitive statement on what does it mean that the Bible's perfect in every way, says this: we further deny that inerrancy is negated by biblical phenomena such as lack of modern technical precision, irregularities of grammar or spelling, observational descriptions of nature, the reporting of falsehoods, the use of hyperbole and round numbers, the topical arrangement of material, variant selections of material and parallel accounts, and the use of free citations. In other words, look, the Bible is written like a general account.
Right.
That's how it is written. That's how it should be read. When it says worldwide, obviously these last two verses are talking about just Canaan and Egypt, or just the lady that came from another country to hear Solomon. I mean, they're just trying to make the point that it was a really big deal and affected most people who were alive that were in their realm of influence. So when the Bible says, yeah, the flood covered the whole earth, we have to ask, well, when it says that in other places, it says later, not like all the earth,
was
literally.
Was it the entire earth, or was it just a specific area?
Right, that's exactly right. You know, in Romans 1:8, Paul says of the Christians, your faith is being reported all over the world. Was it really? Was it being reported in the United States at that point?
Right.
When he wrote that? You know, Colossians 1:6 writes, all over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. Of course, you know, it wasn't in a lot of places at that point. It wasn't in southern Africa.
Well, now, getting back to the flood, I mean, the ark landed on supposedly Mount Ararat, yes
okay.
or no?
Okay.
You know, that would have to be a pretty high flood, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's, you know, evidence for, I mean, if it was that high, if the water was that high, could it have been a worldwide flood?
Yeah, and actually what some people say, a lot of people who believe in the worldwide flood say that before the flood, there were no super high mountains or deep oceans, because we're told in Genesis 7 that the flood arose from the Earth's troposphere and from underground aquifers, not from some weird place in outer space that we haven't heard of, okay? Now, these water resources, they're big. There's a lot of water there, but scientists have studied, and there's not enough water there to do what verse 19 suggests.
Anymore.
Yeah, well, anymore. There's not right now, at least.
Right.
There's simply, it says the waters rose greatly, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. You know, the English translation seems to imply that every mountain, even Mount Everest, was, you know, totally covered by water. But the Hebrew word for high just means elevated. It could also mean inundated. It could mean rained upon. So it could mean every mountain, the highest mountain in the world, was rained upon, not necessarily covered completely.
Okay.
I mean, there's a number of different things this Hebrew word can imply. And when you read the Bible for what is intended, you don't walk away from the Genesis account going, well, the whole point of this account was to show that the whole world was underwater, and if anyone says it was a local flood, they obviously hate God.
Right.
No, that's not. Look, when you say that, you're not only being an idiot, you're being a jerk, you're being unchristlike. So, you know, we got to say, look, man, we don't have every answer. Science seems to indicate that the whole Earth, geological data seems to indicate that the whole Earth was not underwater all at the same time. So what do we do with that science that suggests that? You know, we don't just ignore it. We have to somehow say, well, does the Bible demand it was a worldwide flood? It looks like it doesn't demand it.
Right. It looks like there's a little wiggle room there.
Yeah. Young Earth creationists argue that most, if not all, the world's major geological features occurred during the global flood, during that time. But, you know, in studying canyon erosion and how that works, we found out that No. You can kind of tell if a canyon was formed over millions of years or if it occurred during a really quick event.
Right.
And things like the Grand Canyon weren't formed during one cataclysmic event. Now, okay, Dave's kind of looking at me here. I think we have to, we got to do Bible contradiction.
Let's do.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today is talking about whether God grows weary or not.
Okay, I got to say really quick, we said today that we're going to talk about slavery a little bit because we had a question about that. I told Dave during the break, we don't have time. This flood thing's going too long. So we're going to try to do that on the 27th if you're listening.
All right,
we're going to try to do that on May 27th.
That's next week.
Because there's just too much content there. So, all right, we're going to do a littler one. Give it to me.
All right. Isaiah 40:28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom.
Okay, God's not tired.
However, Exodus 31:17, it will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested.
Rested?
And was refreshed.
I was refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So it seems like it says God can't get tired.
Then he was tired.
He refreshed. He was tired. Okay. Well, note that it doesn't actually say that he was tired.
True.
It says that he rested and was refreshed. Have you ever rested without being tired and been refreshed by that? I have.
Yeah. All the time, every day.
You just kind of sit down and, man, you know what? I feel a little more refreshed right now. It's not that you were tired. It's not that God was tired. But especially when you consider the Hebrew word for breathe, which is what he rested and refreshed is from, literally means you're passively just not doing anything. Mm-hmm. You're just relaxing? Is God giving an example for man to follow? Not because God was literally tired. It's what we call an anthropomorphism, okay? You're ascribing human-like qualities to God for a reason, like analogy.
Right.
Although God can't get tired, we're saying, hey guys, God rested. God just took a break. So, you know, that's it. God was not actually tired. He didn't need help. He didn't need to sit down and rest. He was totally fine. And, you know, that's the answer for our Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
I like Bible contradictions because we can usually refute them.
All right. So back to the flood in the few minutes we have left. This always goes way too fast, Dave.
It does.
All right. So in science, a lot of the young earthers or the people who believe in a worldwide flood, which technically I think I do believe in a worldwide flood mm-hmm. still. I just want to show that the Bible doesn't demand it, okay?
Right.
In talking about science, Genesis 8 gives us really good evidence for a universal but not global flood. By universal, we mean every human being was cut out.
Right.
But it didn't necessarily cover the globe. The four different Hebrew verbs in Genesis 8 describe the receding floodwaters, indicate that the water returned to original sources. And when we look at those original sources, we don't see enough water in the aquifers and the troposphere. Okay.
Right.
So, or even the oceans of our planet. Since the total water content is about 22% of what would be needed for a global flood, we have to ask, well, why isn't there enough water? It didn't say that God miraculously brought extra water and then took that away. It says the water just came up from the aquifers, it came down from the troposphere, and then it went back to where it came from. And there's just not enough water there.
Right. So that would lend more credence to a localized flood.
Yeah, to a universal flood. Mm-hmm. You know, it killed every human. You know, in that way, it was worldwide. Just like
right.
when it says there were people from around the world suffered from the famine. And by world, mm-hmm. we mean entire world. We mean Egypt and Canaan.
Right.
So now, the flood couldn't have just covered, you know, some people say, well, you know, maybe mountains weren't very high, so it was really easy for the water to cover the world back then. But, you know, that doesn't jive with geological data. It contradicts geophysical data.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to overlook a lot of science to be able to
right.
to be able to say that. So,
well, you know, I mean, even after this show, I'm really not quite sure whether it's one way or the other, but there is one thing that I'm very sure of.
What's
is that?
That
my belief, one way or the other, in this does not affect my salvation one iota.
Yeah, I agree. So. I agree. So, hey, check us out, truthrevolution.tv. You know, I hope you can see now that the flood is not some illogical, idiotic event.
Right.
But it's something that could be very real,
mm-hmm.
could be scientific, and, you know, it could have been a universal local. Or maybe it could have been worldwide. We don't know. It seems like the scientific evidence, which I wish we had more time to get into, you know, shows it was probably local. Bible suggests it was worldwide. Either way, doesn't really matter. Truthrevolution.tv. Check us out online.